Chapter 2, verse 1. A simple text. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1. The title of my message is Measuring Up. When you get to Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1, say amen. And it reads like this. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. The point is a question to me, to you, church, do you measure up? Do I measure up? You may be seated. Zechariah, prophet, you know, church, tonight as we met with the rangers, and this is kind of exciting because, you know, we talk about things that we need to be doing differently. And right, Sister Lindsay, it's time. We need a new vision. And I preached about this a couple of weeks ago. A desire, you know, we brought the boys in here, lined them up, and we went through our usual, you know, we pledged to the American flag, the Christian flag, the Bible pledge, all the things we generally do. And then we asked for prayer requests, and the boys usually give us their prayer requests. And Tony had requested that we pray for his allergies. And, you know, and generally we tell the boys, let's pray for our allergies, and then we go on. But this time we stop. I felt God saying, why don't you have them pray for one another? Because church, we never do that. We talk about it. We look back at it and think, yeah, that's the way it should be done. But you know, we had the boys. We anointed Tony with oil. And I anointed the boys, each of their hands, with a touch of oil. And we had them lay hands on Tony and pray for him. What are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to accomplish something different. We're trying to accomplish going back to the old ways of laying hands. Going back to the way of saying, we're going to pray for somebody. We're going to expect healing. Do we have enough faith to say, Joe Gans, you're supposed to be at work tomorrow morning. You should be walking into work tomorrow morning and be 100% as you were. You got bills to pay, brother. And God says, of course, he's going to be healed. Do we have enough faith to do that, church? Do we really have that faith? Zechariah, the prophet himself, had a vision. And the question was pointed at me is, do I measure up? Zechariah was selected by God to encourage the people to build the temple. It was half completed at this point, church. And they needed a renewed enthusiasm to get this project done. Think about that. Zechariah was given a message. Hey, you know that church, that temple is half complete. If we think about it as our Christian walk, are we halfway there? Or do we still need some work? The enthusiasm was gone. And people were kind of getting frustrated. And you know, we talk about the building project here. And this will be my third. So, yes, bless us all, Lord. Because there's a lot to it. It's a lot of work. And you never ever give up the fight. Because the enemy is going to come in. And he is going to discourage, he's going to wreck, he's going to attempt to do everything. Because if there's something the enemy doesn't like, it's the work of God. You know, this morning we were in Sunday school, we were talking about Job. And as Satan just happened to be in the court of God, asking God, hey, you know, just having a conversation with God. And God is basically asking him, have you considered my servant Job? It really made me think. Would God ever say, have you considered my servant such and such? Or does Zechariah need to come in and give him some encouragement because they're only halfway there? Zechariah means Yahweh remembers or Yahweh has remembered. The people were not merely building a temple. The people were building a future. You know, they were looking towards the future. Zechariah needed the people to be looking towards the future, not just a physical building there. They need to be looking towards the future. You know, with this encouragement, the people can get motivated to build as their Messiah is coming. You see, church, God remembered the commitment to the children of Israel. He still remembers the commitments he has made to you. Do you recall them? You know, church, and I was looking at my notes. I don't have the red letter edition. I had to print them out because black ink is out, so I had to kind of do it in a brown color. So I'm going to do my best. And like, I'm in the same league as pastor. Sometimes our eyesight isn't 100% the best, but I think I can read this in, at this font and in this color, so I think I'm going to be okay. So just stay with me. You see, the temple of God is now that temple of the Holy Spirit. It is us. I think about that. We need encouragement, church. Acts chapter 7, verse 48 says, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet." Acts 17:24 states, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Confirmation after confirmation, 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Knowing not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." 1 Corinthians 3:17, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." 1 Corinthians 6:19, it starts with a question, "What? Knowing not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." So that question that I ask myself, church, is this: do I measure up? Do I measure up? Am I measuring up to the things of God? If you go back to Zechariah 2:1, "I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line." There was a line that was put out there for measuring. We take measurements of things because we're looking for depth, width, height. How about my commitment? Look at my commitment now. Does it hold up? I want to give you an example. You know, when I was thinking about in college, when I was my first, the summer session where you get introduced to the College of Engineering, way back when, 1983. And I remember they sat us in this room, all these prospective engineering students of, it was the College of Engineering, which are all the electricals, chemicals, mechanicals, every engineering student. And they sat all the students in this big conference room, right next to each other. We were all strangers to one another. No one knows anybody in there because we're new. It's like I'm coming from a small town all the way down south to that university, and there's kids from every walk of life. And I remember that instructor. Well, the one thing that stuck with me, not anything else he said other than, "I want you to look to your left and to your right, because in 4 years, they will not be here any longer. They will not make it. Only one in three of you is going to make it through the College of Engineering." And I remember that stuck with me, and it gave me a drive. My question was, how was I going to measure up to that? How was I going to perform? Because it's very intimidating. You know, we talk about our Christianity. If you're a first-generation Christian and your parents aren't Christians, how are you going to measure up? But you know, God gives you grace. God gives you grace, and God gives you a hand and says, "You're going to be fine. I'm going to measure you the same way I measured anybody else." You know, a while back, and I thought about that. How did I measure up to that? Perseverance. I had stated a while back, if someone had to write your resume, if someone wrote your resume for you, what would they write? Remember that a while back? It made me think, because I thought, wow, you know, if someone were to write my resume, my life, would I like to read it? About the second or third page, you might just say, you know what, I think we could delete this stuff. Would I? The other question I asked, I think about a couple of weeks ago or maybe longer, if Jesus Christ were like me, would I like to meet him? If Jesus Christ were like me, would I like to meet him? Or I think I better turn the other way. I mean, think about that. That's a conviction I have in my heart. Years ago, I preached a sermon, and it was titled, "How Deep Is Your Well?" And in there, I was basically getting to the point of, how deep are we willing to go in our Christian walk with Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is demanding depth. And you know, the deeper the well, the sweeter the water. The deeper the well, the cooler the water. The deeper the well, the purer the water. So, how deep is your well? Really made me think about it. And I put this note down. Am I still just a shallow riding on the short tails of yesterday's sermons instead of digging deeper. That was for me because I've written sermons. And I thought, am I digging any deeper? It's time for a change, church, for all of us. Not just the preacher up here. Not just for the young preachers. As I'm not sure if I'm part of the group or not. I don't know, Brother Shelton, because we have to have a conversation about that afterwards. I don't know if we're part of the young preacher. But, you know, all of us, we really need to think about that. How deep have we gone? Zechariah was in a situation where he was looking at a man who had a measuring line. He was going to measure something. You know, church, I'm preaching to the choir now. We've heard every sermon with our ears. We've listened to every sermon with our minds. And we've accepted some sermons with our hearts. In whatever fashion they were delivered. How do we expect to measure up? Really think about that. Measuring is done with the length of the cord based on what we expect to measure. If something is something pretty long, and I know those of you in construction, Brother Robert, pastor's done this before, I think Brother Jason, Brother Lucas, you guys know that when you're doing construction, you're not going to take a 10-foot measuring line or ruler to go out and measure a house that's probably going to be 30 feet long. You're going to base what's appropriate. Now, if someone able is when we have an expectation that someone is going to take a long measuring line to measure our character, our integrity, the depth of our commitment to Jesus Christ? Are we expecting to take out the smallest line they have? Because saying, your well is not that deep. If I ask those that witnessed my life to get the right length of cord to measure my Christian walk, would I be surprised? Hey, church, this is for me. This is not for you. I got to take this. The prophet Zechariah, in order to understand this point, I want to take you to Zechariah, the first chapter. In the eighth month, and I will read through this. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turning now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. It's obvious, church, that we can't depend on the experiences of our fathers, but on what is going on now. Now is now, church. Where are your fathers? Do your prophets live forever? You know, if I took that literally, if I based my experiences on my own father, you know, my father's not a Christian. And I've never claimed he was. But, you know, if I had to base my experiences on his life, there's nothing there. I had to base my experiences on my relationship with Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. That's who I had to base my experiences on. Do prophets live forever? Do pastors live forever? You know, we talked about somewhere along the way, you've got to pass the torch. But church, that torch has got to be lit. You just can't pass a torch. And yeah, that's right, in the baton race, you don't throw the baton. Right, sister? Right, especially the person in front of you. You throw the baton, you drop it, you just lost time, and there's going to be some words. Yeah, I did the track thing too years ago, and I knew about batons. But you know, you think about, in order to pass this Christian heritage on, that torch has got to be lit. And we got to pass it, and that torch has got to burn brightly. You know, this afternoon with the Rangers, we were talking back there, and Brother Lucas is working on the, I think it's Global Missions, Merritt, and so are the older boys. And we watched a video on Royal Rangers International. And, you know, it really made me realize that in other countries, they're so enthused about being able to train their young boys. And I'm thinking, what have we done? Where's my vision? And I think I mentioned my vision a couple of weeks ago about Royal Rangers. I still have that vision. So afterwards, we had a small talk, and I shared with the boys what my vision was. You know, and I think the boys are understanding. We all need to get hold of a vision. Because, church, our mission field is Chelsea, Oklahoma. There are a lot of young boys that need a godly influence in their lives. They're looking for someone to teach them about Jesus Christ. They're looking for men that are not afraid to cry, men that are not afraid to die for them, men that are willing to pray for them, men that are willing to lay hands on them, men that are willing to take hits for them. That's who they're looking for. They're not looking for someone who just pats them on the back and says, it's okay, and we move on. They're looking for someone who's going to be there in the middle of the night, in the early morning, who's going to take them out, who's going to take time. And I thought, you know, church, somewhere along the way, I've started to lose that vision, and I need to get that vision back. Because, church, it's going to be important for the church, Chelsea, Oklahoma. But not because of this church, but because Jesus Christ is looking for more souls out there that need to be rescued. And who better than a servant of the Most High God? You know, church, we're not perfect. But God is saying, my work is going to be perfect through you. Because Jesus Christ is depending on us, church. We need to get hold of that vision. And in talking to the boys back there, it made me think, it's time to react. It's time to act. Because I do not want, years from now, to be able to have these young boys look back and say, you guys failed us. You guys, the church, failed us. I want these boys to say, I learned something and I retained something. I retained the Word of God and I'm willing to go forward. Church, it's time to get a vision. It's time to be measured up again. Verse 6 asks a question. Did they not take hold of your fathers? Verse 6 says, according to our ways and doings will he deal with us. According to your ways, what are the ways we've gotten accustomed to? Slothful ways? Life so much easier now? So far, how have we measured up? 3 months later, another vision. Upon the 420th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were three red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. You know, church, what was going on? There was another vision. The world was at rest. It looked like it was at rest. But you know it was at rest? So were the heathen at rest. They were comfortable with what was going on. And was the church, if we looked at it today's society, is the church comfortable with what is going on? And many times we are. We talked about the different paths church are taking. I'm telling you, church, since coming out to Oklahoma, I have seen so many flavors of churches. So many different flavors of churches. And you're right. Somehow we've missed the old ways. Somewhere we've lost that. Everyone has lost that because everyone has said, it's okay to compromise. You start to compromise a little bit here, a little bit there. And what happens? You've lost the old ways. Verse 15, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they held forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Church, it's time to choose the world over to choose the church over the world. It's time to say in our lives, it's time to push the world out. Because the world has really overtaken so many things. so many things. You know, the amount, the visual things that young boys are exposed to is so destructive. It's not just young boys, it's young girls. The desires that are out there. The enemy is waging a war with young boys, young girls, even adults. Because he knows his time is limited. He knows that someday that trumpet is going to sound. He knows that the Messiah is going to come. He knows when Jesus Christ comes, it is going to be over. It is definitely over. Jesus Christ, church, is still on his throne. And he is still expecting us to move. But he is saying, now it is time to be measured. I want to start to measure you all. Verse 18 continues, then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these, which are those carpenters, are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. You know, verse 20 is the mercy God provides despite the circumstance, church. The removal of the hindrances that have cast me away from the church and the things of God. How am I measured? God is providing a way out. Many times God provides a way out. You know, the horns that had scattered the children, the obstacles that had scattered the children. God said, I'm going to give you a vision of these four carpenters. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to cut down these horns. They're going to scatter them. They're going to destroy them. These are the cause of your problems. But I'm going to expect that once I've taken these out, once that these are gone, church, we can resume the business of the church. But are we willing? Are we going to hang on to the debris? Zechariah 2, 1 through 13. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Here we go again. Going back to a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither thou goest? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. Church, assume that Jerusalem is the church, that it's you. How wide is our commitment? How far is our depth? How much measuring line is needed? You really think about that. Can we be measured? Are we willing to be measured? It's kind of like church. We ask ourselves a question. Can I be critiqued about my Christian walk? Verse 3 says, and behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. And he said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Verse 4 speaks of being without walls, which applies to me that the invitation is extended to everyone. Everyone is invited to salvation. You know that, church? Everyone is invited. The door has been opened. There are no walls. And once you get inside of God's covering, there'll be that wall of fire protection. God will always continue to provide protection. Verse 6 continues, ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations that spoiled you, for he that toucheth you touches the apple of his eye. Am I measured to be the apple of his eye? Are we measured to be corporately the apple of his eye? For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. God always continues to protect us. No matter where we've strayed, you know God's hand of mercy extends so far. It extends a lot further than the deepest depth of our wells. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee, and the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. It's time to show our God some respect. And it is time to be able to stand before a holy God, just like Moses. Have the curiosity to go find, why is that bush consumed, but it's not consumed. It is time to say, it's time to take off our sandals and walk on that holy ground and say, I'm going to see how close I can get. And God is saying, I expect you to draw closer. I expect you to burn. I expect you to heat up. But church, sometimes when we start to burn, it's going to burn off a lot of things we don't want to let go of. Will a man with a measuring line measure and find us wanting? Going back to Zechariah 1, if the man comes out with a measuring line, is he going to find us wanting when he begins to measure us? And I got several points underneath my main point. A question, will I ask for the anointing in my ministry or work for God? Will this measure my commitment? 1 Samuel 16:13 talks about, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Question, will I ask for the ability to always face the enemy in this Christian walk? Will this be a measure of my courage? 1 Samuel 17:45 states, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Can I be measured to the stature of none other than Jesus Christ? Do I measure up to Christ? Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Question, will I be ready to drink from the brook like the prophet Elijah? Will I be ready to eat from the mouth of a raven? Will this measure my humility? 1 Kings 17:14, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Question, will I be ready to live in a dungeon like Joseph, unfair as it was? Will my patience be measured? Genesis 41:13, and it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself, and he changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Question, will I be able to stand before a king like Moses? Will this measure my obedience? Exodus 3:10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Question, am I ready to be thrown into the den of lions, into a cruel world, for the gospel's sake? Can my strength be measured? Daniel 6:16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Will I ask for wisdom above all things? Question, will this measure my desire? 1 Kings 3:15, and this is the story of Solomon asking for wisdom. What shall I, in verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon goes on and states, thou hast showed unto my servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept him for his great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David. my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And verse 12 says, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Question, will I be forgiving? Can I be measured by the depth of my love for others? The story of Gomer and Hosea. Hosea 3:1, then saith the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. You know, church, the love that this man, he was showing God's love to the nation of Israel. But to be able to take a woman back for after what she had done, can I be that forgiving? Can I really be that forgiving? For those people that have trespassed us in our lives, can I be that forgiving? Question, will I be a giver? Will this measure my spirit? Leviticus 27:30 states, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 14:22, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet have he robbed me. But he say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Can I be measured that way, church? Finally, can I be measured to love God? And that's just a question. Do I? Brother Lucas touched on a couple of things, you know, about coming into this place, into this building. And it's merely a building, church, but it becomes a sanctuary. We come in many times with things on our minds, physically exhausted, mentally exhausted. We go through things all week long. And there is a time that God is saying, I would love to have this time with you in this community called the body of Christ. But church, do we do that? Do we do enough of that? How often do we want it? How often do we want it? Jesus Christ is coming soon. This world is ready to come unhinged. The world is coming unhinged, and I think we heard it today, and the church is asleep. It's slumbering. The church is coasting. The church is saying, I think I'll make it. Many Christians are saying, I'm pretty sure I'll make it. But do you know that you'll actually make heaven? You know, church, God is not going to look for your pedigree. He's not going to look for my degree. He's not going to look for my membership. He's going to look for me. And the question is going to be, what have you done with my son, Jesus Christ? What have you done? And can I answer that? Because the measure of what I've done with Jesus Christ is the measure of how much I love God. How much do I love God? And what am I willing to do? Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, the words of Jesus, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Matthew 27:42, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He can come down from the cross, because love had him. Love held him to that cross. And you know, church, we had a perfect example here recently. These young boys in this cavern, and I think I stated this before in testimony, total strangers came and were willing to sacrifice their lives in darkness, in an unknown area, in a cavern, in the depths of the earth, willing to go through to find the lost souls, to bring this little sheep home, to bring these young boys home who were scared, who are just possibly planning to die. Could you imagine the terror that was going through their lives? As thinking, this is it. We just waited out here and we die. And when that first person showed up, that is like that first Christian that comes into the life of somebody who's lost and says, I'm going to tell you about hope. Because when that first person broke through those waters and they saw that first person, you know what they saw? They saw hope. They said, if someone from the outside is able to make it this far, they must be looking for me. There must be a plan. There must be somebody who cares enough. They don't know who I am, but somebody cares. And that's what it is, church. Even when we talk about Royal Rangers, I was sharing with the boys. And the boys were kind of surprised that Royal Rangers International, they actually have girls in these in the outposts because they don't have missionettes. And Royal Rangers has reached more people just doing that out there in those outposts and keeping them separated. But the girls, and I thought, you know, reaching the boys who need to be reaching. There is a harvest community. There is a harvest field, and are we doing enough? Are we reaching deep into that cavern like I've stated before? Do we really just want somebody else to do it? Because, church, I think I mentioned before, you know, and some of you may know, sometimes at times I even think about claustrophobia, and I think, I don't know if I would do it, even if there was lights on through the whole tunnel, and it was dry land, and I had to crawl through there, I would probably be passing the rope to somebody else or passing the torch to somebody else, you know. But then I think, there's a time when you have to swallow that, and you have to say, just do it, because God is looking for someone that he can proudly say he measured up. Are we measured up, church? Can we measure up to the things of God? Are we willing? What will be left to measure when we are gone, after we're gone? Hebrews 9:17 says, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. You know, many times our testimonies, the strength of your testimony will live on. And many more people remember the things of God more, many times after we're gone, depending on the strength of our testimony now. Church, think about this. A question. How can we be measured? And is God willing to, are we willing to stand before the Lord and have him measure us? Because I have thought this thing through, and I've asked, Lord, this applies to me. I thought about Royal Rangers. I thought about my years of teaching, years of preaching, whatever I've done over the time. And I've said, God, if you were to measure me now, how long would that rope be? Or would I be surprised once again? And I want to close with this thought, church. Am I using man's measurements or God's? Whose measurements am I going to use? Church, I'm not going to worry about what man says. I'm going to worry about what Jesus Christ says. His measurement is going to be laid out. And his mercy has allowed a little bit of extension on that measurement. But you know what, church? It's time. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for the spirit, those that are spiritually slumbering, to stop slumbering. It's time to wake up. If God has opened up the doors for a new church building, the biggest problem, the one problem that this church ought to have is that we have too many people. We'll figure it out. That ought to be the biggest problem, church. You know that? We think about that. Let's ask God. Let's fill it with laughter of young boys and girls who are looking for salvation. fill it with the voices of people praising and worshiping God. People in this community who have no hope. The drug addict, the alcoholic, whoever they are, the outcast, the person that has said you're no good, you will never amount to anything. Let's show them that Jesus Christ says everyone amounts to anything they want in my kingdom. Because Jesus' mercy extends and will continue to extend for those people. Church, if we'll all stand tonight, Sister Lindsay, or would come to the piano. Just a passing thought, church. My very last verse read like this, Job 38:5. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? You know what Job was talking about? Who has laid out the heavens? What an awesome God. The same awesome God who has laid out the heavens, who has, at the end of the Psalms, who talks about the number of stars. Who can speak that into creation? From the body parts, from our nerves, cell, tissue in our bodies, to the actual stars up in heaven. You think about that, church. What God could do that? It's a God of the universe. It's an awesome God. It's Jesus Christ. It is the God of this heaven who still looks down from eternity, because Jesus Christ is out of time, in time, created time. The same God who looks into your heart and says, I want to have a throne set up in your heart. Church, we got to allow God to say, Lord, I want you in my heart. I want to do everything I possibly can. Time is short. There are people dying tonight. Many people will die even as we leave this place. Even as we go to work tomorrow, many will be thrown into eternity. And if we haven't done enough, then shame on us. It is time, church, to be measured up, to be measured up to the things of God.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Let's come around these altars tonight. Amen. Let's draw nigh unto the Lord. Glory to our God. Amen.